All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? Y'all know what it is. It's Wednesday. It's what? Hump day. That's right. It's hump day, y'all. And welcome to the show. This is Blog Talk Radio. Let's talk. Yeah. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and we got a great show for you today. We got it. We got it. We got it. Yes, we do. Relationships, relationships, relationships. Black meat or white meat, part two. Now, I'm telling you, man. And if today's conversation is half, eat half as good as it was yesterday, oh, man, y'all in for a treat. You hear me? I just want you to know that. I just want you to know, in case you got any doubts in your mind, we're going to be doing the thing today. So I hope you're ready for it. You went home and studied up a little bit and got your thoughts together and everything is riding down and you got the happy spirit on you and we ready to conversate and discuss some good things today. Oh boy, I tell you, can y'all feel that flow coming today? Can y'all feel that happiness flow going on? I hope you can, because it's just riding on me. It's riding on me. That's right. And man, we ready to do some things today. I'm just saying. Oh boy, I'm feeling like a brand new suit today. I have been certified once again for another 3 months, so I'm good. Only certain people know what I'm certified for, but I'm going to leave it at that. Anyway, if y'all want to participate in the show today, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room where the conversation is always lively. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And we all be all in the house together getting it on. Hey, Antoinette, my chat room coordinator. Hey, darling, how you doing? Living the devil, devilicious life. Hi, Yolanda. Y'all welcome to the show today. And of course, y'all know, it's hot and popping, man. It's hot and popping. It's hot and popping today. I'm telling you. So if y'all kind of dragging a little bit, hey, I'm going to try and bring some spunk and spice to you. You know what I mean? We got the Wednesday Jags mix. And we got, you know, the quote of the day. And we, you know, got my co-host that's always energized and ready to go at it. And we got a lot of stuff going on today. So put on your seatbelts, man, and get ready to ride, because that's what we're gonna do today. Yes. All right. Wow. It's all good, you know. But anyway, Okay, I got to calm down a little bit. Y'all know I get hyped sometimes. I get hype sometimes. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Okay, all right. Anyway, so let's bring in this woman right here. She's beautiful. She, every time we talk, she gives me a tad bit of more information, and she gets my mind operating at full strength all over again. When I think I'm in the, you know, kind of calm down and smooth it out a little bit, she always throws that little bit of hint in there and make me open up the doors again and say, oh, man, I still got a lot of long ways to go. And, of course, I'm talking about my beautiful, intelligent, vivacious, sexy co-host, no other than Sister Ngoni. You better stop playing with me like that, lady. Hey, Sister Ngoni, how you doing today?
Greetings, Eric, and thank you for the nice, kind words. How are you? You sound like you're just on top of the world.
Hey, I'm good. I told you, I've been certified for another 3 months, so I'm good. Oh, so that's always a good thing. That is always a good thing. Man, I tell you.
And you have sunshine, too?
Well, it's not sunshiny, but it's not cold either. Look, as long as it's not cold, I can deal with the cloudiness. I just need some heat. That's all I need. I'm not going to tell you no fibs. You know, I'm from the state of Florida, y'all. I need some heat. I don't do cold weather too well. I'm just going to put it out there like that, you know, because it is what it is.
Yes,
is. Mm-hmm. So what's going on down in the state where you at? Is it nice and sunny and warm?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing. All right, y'all. Well, you know, man, we got a lot going on. I'm looking for an outstanding conversation today because, like I said at the beginning, if it's anyway half as good as it was yesterday, we in for a treat, that's for sure. But before we get started, I guess it's time for the Wednesday Jazz Mix. And believe this or not, it's only one song today, y'all. It's only one song today. But the music coordinator say she had to do it for, since we talking about relationships and stuff, she had to coordinate the music with what we're talking about this week. That's why it's only one song. So I hope y'all like it. You know, I think it's pretty sharp myself, but I don't know. I'll let y'all decide that. Are you ready for the song of the day, that Sister co-host?
Yes, you piqued my curiosity.
All righty then. All right, y'all. Without further ado, here it is, your Wednesday Jazz Mix.
Just to find a love within.
My friends wonder what is
All right, y'all, that was your Wednesday jazz mix, Mr. Bobby Caldwell, and What You Won't Do for Love. That's nice and mellow, but that soul is a true statement. Boy, I tell you, What You Won't Do for Love, whoa, kind of goes along with what we're talking about today. What You Won't Do for Love, wow. I tried everything, but I won't give up. I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all know I get crazy sometimes. I have to let y'all hear my bad singing, but it's okay. It's okay. All right, co-host, did you like that today? You like that song?
Beautiful. Yes.
That's good. Beautiful. That's good. I'm gonna have to go ahead and record that again for y'all, so you know y'all can hear the whole thing. I'm gonna put it on CD. We selling it for $2 at the store today. All right, so make sure y'all get there. Oh my goodness! Oh boy, 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 boy. All right, now here's the time of the day of the show where things gets a little serious, y'all. It really does, because I'm about to say the rules of the day, the rules of the show rules. And for those listening that's going to participate, I hope y'all understand and do please follow. You know, and I thought about it the last couple of days. I've been letting a couple of people get away with something and I really don't like, but I'm going to have to just start shutting it down. But anyway, we do encourage everybody to call in and give us their opinion, thoughts on whatever topic we're talking about. You know, we like to hear from you. We like to know what you're thinking. We love that. okay? However, when you do call in, please respect each other and each other's airtime. You know, if they're talking, let them finish their statements or comments, and then you can go ahead with yours. Now, if that gets crazy and everybody wants to continue to talk over each other, I will institute a three-minute rule where everybody be on mute and one person talks at three-minute intervals. However, I do think that's kind of blah, you know, because nobody is able to respond right away. But if you just don't want to act right, that's what I'm going to have to do. All right. No personal attacks on the show. We do not attack anyone personally. You can attack what they said or, you know, the topic, but do not personally attack anyone else. You know, we all on the phone and no one really knows it. Well, some of us know each other personally, but there's still no right to attack them. All right. Now, another thing is don't bring in gossip from any other shows on my show because I will shut you down if you start talking about it. Just that simple. I don't want to hear about anybody else, so this is Let's Talk. I'm the host, Mr. Talk, and that's what we're going to talk about, the topic on Let's Talk today. All right? It's simple and easy, but that's what we're going to do. Of course, there's no use of the N-word, the B-word, no hoes, anything derogatory toward anybody. We will not be tolerating that today or any other day. All right, I think we got that out the way also. But other than that, call in and let's have some fun. You know, as I mentioned before at the start, we do encourage everybody to call in, and we love to hear from what you have to hear what you got to say. All right, now, with that all being said, co-host, is there anything else you would like to add to the rules today?
No, but I would like to greet everyone, and especially Mr. Robert. Barbara is with us today. Welcome back, Robert.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have Mr. Robert in, and we got Chef Rob in the house with us also. And let's see, we got guests 1285, 1286, 1288, 1292, and 1301. All right, y'all, so welcome to the show also. All right, so it's about that time now. It's about that time. It's about that time, y'all. And it's ready. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Here it is from my beautiful co-host. I know she has a doozy for us today. The quote of the day.
Courage means to keep working a relationship, to continue seeking solutions to difficult problems, and to stay focused during stressful periods. That quote is from Dennis Waitley.
Wow. Oh, man, that's a good one there. Courage means to keep working a relationship, to continue seeking solutions to difficult problems, and to stay focused during stressful periods. And that's Dennis Waitley. Man. You know, that is such a strong, strong quote right there, in my opinion anyway, because a lot of times during relationships, you know, people run out too early. You know, it's first sign of something wrong, and they riding out. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody trying to stick around because, as they say, it's just too much work. It's too hard. You know, I ain't signed up for this. Well, you know what? With everything, there's going to be problems. That's no doubt. You know, with everything, there's going to be problems. And you just have to continue to work. And if you take and put it on a larger scale, you know, it works the same way in a worldview. You know, there's going to be problems. The question is, are you or we or they or however you want to put it willing to put in the work to solve the problem? I mean, that's my take on the quote anyway. Of course, y'all know I got to get my co-host quote version of it, too. So tell me about it, Miss Ngoni. Ow.
Well, Eric, I really had a difficult time narrowing down the quote for today because I did want it to, you know, to go along with the conversation we're having. And as you just mentioned, I could see where this quote could be applied to problems between ethnic groups, problems between nations, as well as problems between lovers, family members, individuals. So that's why I chose that one. And I couldn't just contain myself to one. So I also wanted to add, assumptions are the termites of relationships, by Henry Winkler. And that also can be applied to problems regarding ethnic groups as well as individuals and nations and so forth. Hmm. Assumptions a lot of times cause the breakdown of relationships in many areas of life.
Mm, that is so true. You know what? You can't even argue with it. What you say? When you assume what that does, sometimes it makes an ass out of you. That would.
Out of
that is
and
so
me.
True. You and me. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
And
so
it goes downhill from there.
Downhill from there. Outstanding. You know what? I like that so much. Let me give some love to that right there. That is such a true statement. Such a true statement. All right. Yeah. Now. All right, y'all. Here we go. We finna take off. The ship about to leave the station now. Are y'all ready? Y'all ready? All right. Y'all want to be a part of the show today? And we're talking relationships, Black Meter, White Meat, Part 2. Give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, all one word, and, hey, we can get it on, all right? Now, yesterday at the end of the show, and that's why I love my co-host, because my co-host brings stuff to me. You know, I may see it. I may not, you know, I say stuff, but, you know, sometimes I may say it to where it's a little bit confusing. And my co-host, I love her to death because she brings that to my attention, and we make it happen, you know. So yesterday, here's my closing statement that I made. All right. We have found all kinds of reasons to keep from dating a specific group of people, but how can we say we are striving for unity as a people when we are still teaching our children to stay on their side of the tracks? When will we stop hindering our own progress by staying in one box? Okay? That's right. I love her to death. I know Antoinette gonna get me for that one. I love my co-host to death, to life. Okay, but anyway, basically what I meant by that statement right there is this. Okay, you know, I'm not advocating, you know, interracial marriage relationships or whatever like that. But I'm not saying they're bad either. What I'm saying is we need to wake up and open up ourselves to the possibility of stop putting ourselves in one little box. You understand what I'm saying? There's a whole world out there and a whole bunch of different people out there. But if we continue just say, this is it, this is the only people I'm dating, or taking the world, America is it, and we're not dealing with anybody else. Pigeonholing yourself, and there's no way you're going to progress because you're still going around in the same old circles. That's all I'm saying. Now, I know some people say, well, you know, we have to maintain our bloodline and we have to do this. Well, you know, even back in the biblical days, to a certain point, the bloodlines was mixed after a certain point. You know, so for those Bible individuals that's going to say, well, the Lord said, well, yeah, and he said that because the earth needed to be populated, and that was the only way to do it, to have what we call today inbreeding. But, you know, after a while, it just had to stretch out. It just had to stretch out. So that's what I meant by my statement yesterday. I hope that clears it up a little bit for anybody who was actually wondering what I was saying. And, you know, I heard a quote today. I was on YouTube looking at some things, and I was listening to something, and I heard somebody say this, and I found this so interesting. They said, dating multiple men and women of different ethnic groups is like buying seasonal lattes at Starbucks. Try them all and see which one you like. And I thought that was just an amazing quote, because you never look at things like that, but that was pretty good. That was pretty good. All right, so I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to let my co-host go ahead and tell me if I did a good job at breaking it down. If not, I'm going to have to go a little deeper. But co-host, did I do a good job?
Yes, you did, as you always do, Eric. And like you, I'm not advocating interracial dating, and I can recall a time when I used to see it, I used to just get angry. But as you grow and mature and you work to understand life from more than just the physical level of life, you try to evolve yourself spiritually, then you, I think, have to expand your understanding about life. And I try to do that. However, on a political level, I can understand the position that of people who, you know, are adamant about staying with their own ethnic group or identifying themselves as a people and a nation. I understand that too. And I know it sounds like I'm sitting on the fence. In my lifetime, I have been extremely a militant person in that, you know, Pan-Africanism, black nationalism, the whole nine yards. And so from a political perspective, you know, I can really relate to that because, you know, the fact of the matter is that we live in a society that is polarized by what some people see as different racial groups. And again, I'd like to repeat my philosophy is there's one race, the human race. And I believe mankind created the separation of races, and it was for political reasons, and it was for dominating other people. And it's for the people that are currently in power more than others on this planet to be able to sustain themselves in their phenotype or fear of a black planet is what I call it.
Fear of a black planet. Hey, didn't Parliament say something about fear of a black planet? Oh, anyway. But you are absolutely correct. But, you know, and here's another thing also. You know, and as you were speaking, it came to my mind real fast. You know, if we say, okay, we got to stay within our own bloodlines, per se, and, you know, that's what's going to get us over the top, then we're no better than the ones that tried it many, many eons ago or centuries ago, because we're trying to set up to do the same thing, which means basically we haven't progressed or learned anything from history, you know, to make the present better or to make the outlook for the future any better. So, you know, those are some things that I just thought I'd bring out. You know, but
well, may I respond to that?
Oh, yes, you can. Of course.
Well, I think if we consider that thought pattern very deeply, we can follow it straight to genocide, which has been placed upon us. And when you think about it, since the law used to be the one-drop rule, meaning that the culture or the people or nation that created that law did not want to accept that blood into their group. But mm-hmm. We always embraced it in ours. So if we follow the idea now that we only will deal with our own phenotype or culture or ethnic group, then what are you going to do? You're going to cull the herd, or you're going to cleanse the bloodline? You're going to kill off everybody that has mixed blood? There won't be too many of us left, not in America anyway.
Very true. Very, very true. Wow. Oh, man. See, it's already getting deep. It's just the two of us right now. But that's such a true statement. I see we have a caller 845 in the house. You ready to let them in? You ready to let them in?
Yes.
All right. Let's bring them in. All right. Area code 845. Who do I have here?
This is Robert.
Well, hello, Robert. Welcome back.
I spoke to you once before and enjoyed your show then. And today, I am quite surprised. I know she has to be your co-host I'm speaking of. Mm-hmm. She must be an Oxford fellowess.
What is that, Mr. Barber? I never heard that word before.
Well, fellow is a man, and a fellowess is a woman.
Hmm.
An Oxford fellow is a highly trained person that knows how to promulgate information.
Wow.
She is doing such a beautiful job. I mean, she caught my attention in a, with a couple of her statements. I mean, I never attended Oxford University, and that's mm-hmm. where that term comes from. And are you an Oxford fellow? Well, she's a woman, so she'd have to be an Oxford fellowess. I mean, she convinced me.
If she
were to actually sit in a classroom and made this at Oxford University, all of the students then would look at her as if she was, and listen to her as if she was an Oxford fellowess. Now, you know where I got that term? I mean, you'd be in one of the most hallowed educational halls in the world. I mean, your information is right on. But I'd like to add a couple of thoughts, actually three thoughts here. Back to the Bible again. I'm probably the first one. Peter would probably have to check all my IDs, let me in through that gate. If I ever get in. But I recall two statements in the Bible, and they relate to what you're all saying. The first one is, and you have to be keen about your own self. A lot of people are not keen enough to soul search themselves. But the first thing is, physician, heal thyself. Second thing, and this is even more so in agreeance to what you were both talking about, and that is, you're telling me to get the speck out of my eye when you have a log in yours. And that goes back to the first thing again, physician, heal thyself. You know, you can be the most educated person in the world. You can be educated on the streets. You know, I graduated still going to UHK, you know, University of Hard Knocks. I never went to a college classroom. The closest I got to that maybe was, you know, that computer mainframe my course took in 1982 and graduated. It's a mainframe operator. That's the closest I ever got to real big-time schooling. But I think those two statements sum it up. And, you know, the third thing, which you were all talking about lastly, was genocide. I think that was apropos. You know, at certain times in history, and we're now at another point in our history as human beings on Earth right now. It's so important. I don't know if you all know what's going on in Madagascar right now, but it's a very hideous thing that hit us real hard in the 14th century in Europe, where 50 million people were killed. I'm talking about bubonic plague. And so much love for one another is starting to be shown in Madagascar because the Black Plague is back again. It took 32 lives. It's growing. I think it's up over 50 now. Another 100 or so are infected, and they'll end up dying. But all of them are starting to come close together because it's taken a grave situation again and bringing those people back together again. But I would hate to think that any person would board a plane in Madagascar and fly here to the United States and have pneumonic plague. Pneumonic plague is, the plague is in your lungs. And when you talk and breathe on someone, it infects those who are listening. just by the wetness in the air. And it's a horrible, horrible way to die, I guess. I've never died that way. I don't think I did. But, you know, I don't know how many lives I've been on the earth, but this time I don't want to be infected by it. But sometimes it takes a grave situation to bring a relationship back together again. I in my second marriage, I walked out of my first one, but my second one, my wife left me three times trying to hold the relationship together, and I didn't care. And that's real bad. And the third time was finally it. And I never fought to keep her. I don't know what was going on in my head, but I must have had a lot of problems. But yet, she tried to keep the relationship together, and I just couldn't face it. I said, you want to go? You go. I mean, I'm not holding you back. I'll even help pack up your stuff and put it in the vehicle. How about that? You know, hoping she would stay. Hoping she would stay, but she did take off. I mean, it's not better than that. But she did take off and called me one time. One time after that. Said she sold the vehicle. Yeah.
Robert, well, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
You know, you saying that she said she was leaving, and you said, okay, well, then go. Was that more pride talking than anything, or did you just assume that she was just throwing hot air and not really paying attention, you know, just trying to get a reaction out of you, and your pride would, you know, you just assume, and with the pride on top of that, you just made an assumption that, and you were wrong.
Well, let me say this, what you're speaking about.
Okay.
I have had a terrible bout with my ego. Mm-hmm. I've always had an ego problem. Until my spiritual teacher had told me how to get rid of my ego. I said, there is no way you can do that. Come on, man. You can't get rid of your ego. He said, Bob, your ego is a separate entity. I said, oh, really? Yeah, it's a separate entity. Just tell it to leave you. You have to take control. See, my biggest problem was not only ego, because I had a business, and we were doing very successful, but I procrastinated. One of the biggest problems I had wasn't really my ego. Ego is some ego, somewhat maybe 10% of the problem. My biggest problem was procrastination. I knew what she was talking about, but I could care less because I had a failing business. I was trusting myself to try to rescue me so I can help her and me, you know, stay together, because I love the woman, still do to this day. She remarried. But the thing is you got to move. you can't procrastinate. Procrastination is a killer, man. Mm. It'll kill anything. And me being, well, once a Marine, always a Marine, if you're on a battlefield, John was in Vietnam, you're on a battlefield, and that lieutenant tells you to move. You know where you're supposed to go, and you ain't moving. Well, guess what's going to happen?
Oh, my goodness.
You ain't going to be around too long. Mm-hmm. You got to move with the flow, and you take the enemy out. And you just roll until you win the battle. You can't procrastinate. And that's been my biggest holdup. Hey, I'm still procrastinating doing some things. And if you look at every single relationship, there's some procrastination in there. Right. That'll keep it from progressing. There's mm-hmm. procrastination on both sides, and some of that's due to mistrust, you know. And that's what I've learned through life is you got to trust the person. you got to let go of your ego, and then you got to stop procrastinating. You know, I'd say the two things: let go of your ego and stop procrastinating. Just roll, go with the flow, and move. Just roll with the flow, huh? That's it. Roll with the flow. If everybody's going to the right, don't go to the left. Mm-hmm. Go to the right. If she wants to go to the right, go to the right with her. If she wants you to take her out and buy a pizza, don't argue. Don't procrastinate because you're watching a show on TV. Get up and take her out and get a pizza. You see? You got to do that. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but...
You're giving some good advice. I mean, but I just want to say, you know, with that, you say just roll with it. But in some instances, if you just roll with it, wouldn't you just be conforming to whatever the group is doing instead of stepping out on your own and setting a standard, you know, for you and your partner?
Well, let me say this. I had started a business with no planning. Well, what I mean by that is I asked God, can you show me a way to where I can make some income? Tired of working for people, being told to do this and do that and all that.
Mm-hmm.
One day, I had walked into an office and a man told me something. And all of a sudden, a light bulb went off in my head. I had no idea what I was even thinking about, but a light bulb went off. I'm looking at this book I'm holding in my hand. And the man told me, he says, the United States government cannot print this book. They're looking for someone to print this book. I said, really? What is it? He says, oh, that's the new import and export codes for the entire world. Export, of course, is country governed. But the imports, they have this code that's works for both now imports and exports known by all countries. And that's what they use called the Harmonized Tariff Schedule. And he says, if you know anybody that can print this book, oh, the government would love you for it. And I said, well, who should I contact? I didn't need to know what the hell the book was, what it was and was for. And I'm just saying, who should I contact? You see, when it's your turn to take the reins, let God do it. It's called synchronicity. When I let out those thoughts and I said, I'm going to let go and let you, God, help me out. I kind of messed everything up, but I'd like you to help me out. And I'm willing to listen and do what you say. But I didn't know that God was working on me at the time. I was just going with the flow. When it's time to lead, just like God told Joshua, whatever you see, take it. And that's exactly what Joshua did. He killed everything along the way. He didn't kill them all, and that's why the Jews still had a problem there. He left a few behind. But listen, you go with the flow, because if it's your turn to leave, to have your own business and make some money, then you're going to be given that thing. But you procrastinate in that. You're not even going to have that. But at that time, I did not procrastinate. Every day I was moving, I was doing something. My wife was happy. She saw me doing something. She was proud of me. And I didn't even think about it. I just kept moving. I was doing what God was saying to do in what they call, a woman knows it very well, called intuition. Men have it, and I was proof about that. You know, so, you know, I know what you're saying. When you're saying going with a flow, it may not be good, but it is good because you don't know if it's coming from God or from your group. But, you know, and then I think I let God down because I must have gave up on God because 6 months after I almost became a millionaire, the business went sour because the 1987 Omnibus Trade Act was turned down in Congress, and all of a sudden nobody was ordering books. So had to let all my employees go, but they stayed on a whole month without pay. That's how much they love working with me. But, you know, you got to follow what God tells you to do. You got to do what God tells you. You let out a prayer to help me. You have money problems, help me. And that's one of the biggest problems of marriage is a lack of money, basically. Lack of money. If you don't do something, you're going to take yourself down, and your wife will help you. I'm talking, of course, from a man's perspective. But, yeah. I was there once. I know what it's like. And I never knew I was there. I was just doing. I just let go and let God at that time. And that's what has to happen in marriages. You definitely have to let go and let God do things. And, man, I was the happiest man in the world.
I bet. Let me ask you this question, Robert. And I know you from the way you speak, you're a godly man. So I guess I'm gonna ask you this point blank: how do you stand on interracial dating in marriage? How do you stand on that? What do you think about that, brother?
I'm gonna let you know the truth.
Okay.
From the get go.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the most beautiful women in the world. I'm not talking thought-wise. I'm talking beauty, bodily shape, just a smile, the gleaming smile. My God, they are the most beautiful women that are black and white. To me, they are very attractive and sexually appealing to me. But I've noticed other men too, taking that second and third book, sometimes fourth book. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. It is an offspring from a black and white parent. I've always thought that all my life. They are the most beautiful people in the world. Now, anything wrong with that thinking?
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Look at some of the great people in the past. I mean, in their youth. One of them was a very outgoing personality, you know, and you have a few today. Good Lord. You know, I think they're right at first, and I have to look again, and I say, oh, my God, she's like, oh, man, she's beautiful. But there were some great people in the past. You know, one of the offsprings was a woman back then. You may know her, called Dinah Shore. Very attractive lady. Very attractive. And others, I mean, they just, beautiful. Yeah, even more than being white and even more than being black, some women are absolutely gorgeous from head to toe. I mean, that's the truth. I just told you the truth. I told on me. I probably would have married one. know what I mean? I have nothing against the blacks. In fact, most of my fellow platoon members were black, and I grew up with blacks in San Francisco, where I grew up and went to school, and most of my friends were black. I never thought of a person as being black. I never had a problem with race. They were a human being. I never looked at them as a race. Me being, I'm Cherokee and Yaqui. Cherokee and Yaqui and Mexican. And that sounds kind of mixed to me, but there may be some black in there someplace back in there.
Absolutely.
Somewhere in my time. I have no problems whatsoever with race. I get sick and tired of people talking about white this. I mean, look, you ever heard of the Black Television Network? Is that what it's called?
I'm not sure. I stopped watching television 10 years
okay.
ago.
Yeah, there's a network, Black Television Network. You got another program, the Jewish Hour. I guess they do that because the whites must have control of everything, and they do. But that's ending very soon. That's ending very soon. Go ahead.
I want to thank all your good points. I want to open the line and bring another caller. We have a lot of callers waiting on the line. And you're fine. I sent you a message on your Blog Talk Radio. You have some fabulous information on there, and I see you haven't been active for a year. Please put some new information up there. I just love the information that you shared. So let me open the line and bring Mr. Beasley in.
All
greetings,
right.
Beasley.
Well, greetings. And, Mr. Barber, I saw you yesterday evening.
Oh, so, my God.
Don't talk about it here, though, because they don't like
wait
that.
Wait a minute.
I wasn't pressing one, but I may press it.
Hey,
why don't I just put myself on mute?
No, listen, I heard the greatest show ever on Blog Talk Radio last night.
You're welcome.
And that's all I'm going to say about it. It was the best show I ever heard, Mr. Beasley. Go ahead, sir.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. It just happens like that sometimes.
What was the name of it? Mr. Beasley?
No, I'm not supposed to do this here. I'm trying to abide by the rules. I'll tell you privately.
Okay. That'll
right?
work.
Okay.
Fine.
I'm going on mute, but you can leave me open in case I want to chime in.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Robert?
Yes.
If you had advice to give young people today that would help to create more peace in the world or, you know, to know how, based on your experiences in the past of, you know, what not to do as far as in dealing with or you know, creating or building a relationship that can last, because it seems like in today's world, as the host, Mr. Talk, was saying earlier, relationships don't seem to last too long nowadays, if you can get one. What kind of advice would you give, you know, young people and people in general, based on your wisdom and your life experience about relationships?
Well, I wouldn't call it wisdom, elderly people call it wisdom, and sometimes young people like yourself call it wisdom, too, but listen. I got married when I was 25. I was a strapping Marine. I mean, nobody could take me down. 25, I married a 23-year-old. Nothing wrong with that. Age 25, Sergeant E5, making good money. PX, medical and all that. Great, great situation to be married. Except when you go off to war, right? But anyway, let me say this. Let me say this about children, especially today. Children today are very gifted. I'm talking about children that are 20 and under. They are coming into the world or have come in starting 20 years ago with very special spiritual gifts that they're not using. All they have to do is call upon the Lord and ask him to show them what gifts they have, because every one of them has a special gift, and it's done on purpose. Remember, each person is a spirit. Every person on earth is a spirit. You're not a body. Your body's your spacesuit. When you die, you never die, by the way. You live forever. It's just your body kind of stays on earth and goes back to dust. But that the children have to realize that they are special beings that are on earth at this time, and all of them are going to be participating in the changes that the earth is making. They have a great opportunity. If they feel like they want to fly, start flying. It don't make a damn difference. Make a model airplane. If you feel that you want to go out and pick coffee beans down in Colombia, do it. I mean, you know, anybody can pick up a pistol and start shooting. Anyone can pick up a rifle and start shooting. Me being Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, I was trained how to do it very well. And I did. I used my skills. But let me tell you, these gangbangers and stuff like that, they're all special gifted kids. And all they got to do is a parent. Look, one of the biggest problems in school right now, these kids are so bored in school, very bored. The teachers know it, and yet the teachers don't know what to do about it. These children think conceptually. They don't think linearly. They think conceptually. If you tell a children, hey, let's try to design this thing, what are your ideas? You'd be surprised what these kids come back with. And they come back with answers. I've noticed that about kids after talking to a few kids myself. And you know, there's some programs out there, I don't know what you call them. There's buildings I see kids go into. They're learning how to play pianos, and they join these boys' clubs, and the girls join the girls' clubs. And all the gangbangers out there think, oh, look, bunch of sissies, you know. Let me tell you something. These kids will take over. They will take over, and all the adults are going to say, what the hell's going on? Well, that's what it is. These kids have been held back for years, and now they're fighting back any way they know how, because they're tired the way the parents who don't know anything are telling them what to do. They're tired of it. That's why we have so many gangbanging going on, at least for the next the last 50 years especially. The last 50 years that's been going on, because people do not think conceptually. That's what's opened up to all human beings today, is thinking conceptually. And these kids want to be talked to, and discussions about conceptions. they have the answers. The kids have the answers, and they can teach every one of us what to do because they have that special gift from God. That's the whole thing. And we're trying to teach them one thing after the other. They already know what to do. They already know. God gave them that gift to know. And
well,
all we have
you.
To do is listen. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You shouldn't tell me to talk about something. I'm going to talk to you to death. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk to you to what?
We appreciate your input, Mr. Barber. I just wanted to say that you bring up so many good points. About the children, I agree with you that I think they are very brilliant. When you can tell when they come into the world now, they're so much more aware, you know, compared, say, 50 years ago. They come so much more aware. But in the school system today, I'm sure I'm not telling anybody out there anything they don't already know. Here in the U.S., they have something called outcome-based education. So they're not allowing the children to express themselves, and they're trying to, you know, take art and music and, you know, physical education and so many things out of the curriculum. So they're holding back the children's creativity. And, I you know, it's obviously being done on purpose. But I agree with you. I think that, you know, because we are in a evolutionary process, that the children, hopefully they'll be strong enough to, like you say, to fight back, not necessarily as far as gangs, but just that their spirit won't give in to where the society or those who control the society are trying to lead us as a society into transhumanism, where they chip us and really turn us into zombie robots. Seems like that's what they want to do. What do you think about that, Mr. Barber?
They can try all they want. I don't know if you've been reading the news lately, but I had mentioned the Black Plague coming in again.
Yes.
That's the first step. You got your diseases, then the financial system's going to break down. And it's already starting to break down. The billionaires, you don't want to be on the billionaire list. They call that, it's not a pun. It's not a pun against the black race, but they call that the black list now. If you're on that list, you're losing your money.
Yes, well, Mr. Barber, I think we're getting kind of off topic, and we have another person with their hand up. I would like to invite Ebony Empress to join our conversation. Greetings, Ebony.
Yes. Hi, guys. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm listening to the show, and are you thinking about interracial relationships, or have you gone into another topic?
Well, I just mentioned to Mr. Robert that we were off topic, and the topic is continued from yesterday. The topic title was, I don't know if you were aware of it, but we kind of talked about relationships in a broad way. How's that?
Okay.
Join us if your
point
of view.
Go ahead and give your point of view.
Ebony just joined the line.
Okay, welcome, Ebony. How are you doing today?
How are you, Mr. Talk? How are you?
All right, so what is your take on interracial dating, kids, marriage, and all that good stuff?
I suppose I'm not totally anti. I have a philosophy about the whole thing. I look at it in the sense that the world is at the moment very unfairly balanced against ethnic groups, and particularly black people struggle to equally exist. Coexist alongside whites. And I think the problem with interracial is that sometimes when we break it down, we break down the race, as it were. So by, you know, when whites are marrying outside, it doesn't change the issue that we have, which is an unfair, unequal base of power between ourselves and the white race. For me, I guess it's fine because we're all people, right? We're part of the human race. I guess for me it would be fine, and I really wouldn't have an issue with us, you know, going out and sharing and mixing and do whatever we want to do if everything was equal, and it still isn't. We have a long way before we can be treated equally. So I think it's like if you are equal in the bedroom, how do you become equal in the bedroom when society doesn't view you as being equal? Me as someone with a darker skin, then my access or my opportunity to live the same life that you live is completely different. My access to education, different to yours. My ability to get great health care or whatever can be hampered by the fact that I can't earn this kind of money that you can, or I don't have access to start a business and borrow money from banks because they may not give me the money because I don't have the same color skin as you have. And if that's still an issue in our society, then on that basis I don't agree with it. I think when we build ourselves up and we have that opportunity to be treated that we should as all human beings equally with no difference irrespective of who we are, then there is a chance to go into that melting pot and play that we are all equals because we are, but we're not there. So that's where I am. So I choose to date within my race, and that's why.
Okay. Very interesting comment there. Now, you mentioned something about being unbalanced, okay?
Yeah.
Here's my question to that. All right, I hear background noise, echo. But here's my question.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then can we say that we kind of called the unbalance? Ooh, that's crazy. Cause the unbalance by insisting that we date our own?
Well, I don't think we do because I don't think we look at all the celebrities who go out and date and they interracially date. How has it benefited us as a community? How does it benefit us? Wherever we've mixed and we do it already, we're a race that love to to go into other races and marry and all the rest of it. How has it benefited us and how has it improved our situation as a race? How has it increased our power base at the end of the day? Has it in any shape or form? And that's where I think the problem is, that we just don't have the power, so when we're making a choice, on what way is equal, an equal choice? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. However, some would argue that that's part of the problem with interracial marrying. A lot of times we would marry outside the race, and instead of helping our own, we go ahead and gravitate to the other side that we're marrying into and forsake
what we do.
Where you came from. Yeah.
That's what we do. Yeah, because when you marry a white person, let's just keep it real. When you die, the money whatever you earn goes to that woman or that man who is your spouse. Okay? It doesn't come back into our community, it goes into another community and builds that community even more than they've already been built. Okay? And if your children decide that they're going to marry white, and they may do because they see it as marrying up, you're taking even more back. It goes back even more. It doesn't come back to us. So I'm wondering, how do we benefit? So I don't ever say to my kids, and you must never date a white person. I just show them that issue that we're dealing with and has not yet been resolved. And I say, well, then you choose. And I see that my children have chosen people who are like me and like themselves. And not because they couldn't choose the other side, but because it's like, how are we going to benefit ourselves? How's it going to improve my lot? Okay, so I personally may benefit in that I, I have a little more access to something more than someone else in my family or my community. But looking long term, how is the community going to benefit? And what happens is you tend to find that, you know, the one, when black people marry out, it's like a choice of one individual. You know, it's almost like when someone says, I want that one person. I want you because you're you. Okay. I want you. I'm choosing you as this black person who I invest in. It's not, it doesn't come to the community, as it were, because then that person almost becomes isolated. And you see, even with celebrities, isolated from their community, well, there is no longer that connection with community. They have gone into another world, and we have lost them, as it were. So I don't see where the benefit is. If anybody can show me, I'm fine. I'm open to it. I think we're all one race. It isn't a problem. We can mix. But that power issue remains an issue for our community. Until it becomes resolved, I don't know if I agree with it. I still feel like let's get the power right, let's get the equality right, and then we can share. There's no issue.
Mm-hmm. Wow. that is a whole lot, Ebony. So let me ask you this question then. No, that's good stuff, though. That's good stuff. But let me ask you this question. Okay, yeah, I know you have kids that are already grown. So here's the question. What if your kids came home with someone of a different race? Would you hold that against them, even though you have taught them, you know, what the situation is as far as marrying outside of your race? Would you hold that against them, or would you go ahead and accept them, knowing the possibility that they may have kids, interracial kids? You know, would you hold that against them, or would you embrace it?
No, it was really cool. Like, my eldest daughter decided she would date a white guy, and she did for a year. And my only thing to her was, when she started dating him, was treat him the same as you would any other black guy or any other man in the world. Don't try to step a person out, because what's the difference? If you're saying as a man, accept him as a man, and you know, and just love him for who he is, and see everything he does, not in the context of race, but as a person, and then deal with it, okay? And she did. She dated him for a year, and it broke up because he wasn't, you know, not because of his race, but because he wasn't right for her, she felt, in her eyes. And I didn't influence it on the basis of race. And I stepped out. I actually stepped out completely, and I met him. He's a nice guy. He goes around with a whole group of black guys. He's always been with black people and embraces them fully. So I understood she made the choice. But I said to her, just see it for what it is. And she did. It broke up in the end. If she'd chosen to take it further, she's my child. I would never have changed. I wouldn't change my fundamental principles about how I feel about the interdating. But I wouldn't let it affect a choice that my child make, because that's her choice. She still has to make her own choices, and I'm open to whatever choice anybody wants to make in their own life. It's not my choice. But I just put it out there, this is how it is. I remember my son used to date white girls. We lived in a predominantly white area for a while, and he used to bring home white girls all the time. One said to him, do you never see anybody that is like you that you would like to date? And he said, well, you know where we live, you know, whatever. And I said to him, okay, I know where we live, but if you rate your sister, and he's the only boy, if you rate your sisters and you think your sister good enough, then, you know, maybe girls that are like you are also good enough. Don't see them as not good enough, because they're just as good as any other girl out there. And he started dating black girls. He's never stopped dating black girls since. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen him in a white girl since, you know, and I just put it that way to him, that we're good enough. Don't see us as not good enough because you're in an area where you're seeing a lot of successful white people that you think suddenly that you're better or different. You know, we are still valuable, and I just want you to see the best of who we are and recognize it for what it is, and don't feel like you have to go outside of your race to find a good woman, because there are good women, you know, who are just like sisters. He decided to choose, you know, since then, he's only ever dated black girls. So, you know, And if he came in with a white girl, I would feel no different because I know he understands who he is.
Okay. Very good. Now, let me ask you this question. Well, hold on for a minute. Sister Angona, you have any questions for Ebony?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Well,
hi, Sister Angona.
Hey.
Okay.
Happy
so do you feel...
Perfect.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Yeah, I meant to do that Friday. My bad. I forgot. But,
okay.
You just mentioned something that was, I think, is a very interesting point, and that is, you know, a lot of instances they're told that, you know, your own is not good enough. You need to marry outside to progress or what have you. Do you think that is part of the problem, is the perception that we give our own as to, you know, in order to succeed, you need to marry outside. You can't get anywhere if you keep marrying your own. What do you think about
yeah.
that?
Yeah, we do. And I think we also have, you know, and I hear sisters who do it, we also have a perception of our own, which is very, what shall I say? We almost demonize our own, you know, mm-hmm. you hear it in the conversation, enough, or black men need to step up, or whatever the language that we use. All of that says to our young people that we're not good enough. There's something wrong with us that needs fixing, and it comes within ourselves. We have to go out to find something better. So when we change the language about ourselves, we encourage our young people to also love themselves, because when you're saying we're not good enough, you're saying, who are you saying isn't good enough? You're talking about yourself, okay? So I always say, you know, change the language. And when you say there's a problem with a relationship, it's a problem with that individual. It isn't a problem with our race. It's something that that individual who you've met has got to deal with, or, you know, something that you need to fix about yourself. But don't make it a black thing, or don't make it a white thing. So it becomes, a black or white thing, which is why what I said to my daughter was right. Treat that person the same as you would any man, and see him as a man, because men are men at the end of the day, and they can be influenced by different things, which is to do with culture and whatever, but they're still, at the end of the day, basically men, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't start
okay.
putting people up on a pedestal because you think, oh, he's white, he's middle class, he's come from this background. That doesn't stop him from being a cheater or being anything else, or a thief or a liar. It doesn't change anything, right? So
right.
just treat people like people, but also recognize yourself for who you are and value who you are, because you love yourself. And then it's easy to love everybody, but you're not going to then marginalize your own. So when you see a black man, you're not going to hate a black man because he's a black man. You're gonna just treat him the way you would treat any man who you respected out there. And you're not going to give him a higher position. You don't have to, because when you do the self-love, it's easy to love someone who is like you. And it's also easy maybe even to love someone who isn't like you. You have that patience, if you know what I mean, and it's sorted. So you're not going out there looking to find something that you're not. That's where, you know, that's how I see it.
All right. That's some good stuff, Ebony. See, that's why I only produce debate on your show. Don't tell nobody else. All right, hold on. Let me bring Lisa in. I'm sure she has something to add to it also. Hello, Lisa. How are you doing today?
Hey, doing good. Ebony made some excellent points.
Yes,
thank you, Lisa.
Very excellent. And I wanted to say, too, it's interesting how when black people, when we say we want to stick together, marry our own, and all of that stuff, people deem it as being racist. But when Asians do it and Hispanics do it, it's admired. Like, oh, look at them. They can stick together. But when we do it, for some reason, oh, you don't want to be with us? I mean, look at everywhere in the United States, there's always a Chinatown. No one says that's racist. But if black people were to do that, we would be called racist and separatist.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know what? That's a very good point, Lisa. That's a very good point. You know, but after, I think a lot of times we, instead of paying attention to that kind of stuff, we're so busy, pointing the fingers at others that we fail to realize that we're some of the most prejudiced people against ourselves, you know? And
but you know what, though, Eric, I think,
too,
that also comes with the way we were taught. Other races weren't taught certain things that we were taught. I mean, we were taught our skin color has been bad. We've been taught that for over 400 years. Asians were never taught that for 400 years. I mean, they have their own country to go back to if they choose to do so. You know,
well,
our lips are ugly. Our butts are ugly. We've been, once you're hammered this into your head for 400 years, it's going to take a while for us to reverse that. So sometimes, I understand sometimes it is our fault, but then at the same time, you have to look at how we have been treated in society. I mean, look at the magazines and everything. The magazines are still, I know it's so interesting, Iman is getting together with Naomi Campbell because they're angry because here it is, the 21st century, and they still don't see any black models. Naomi Campbell said there were more black models when she was modeling than there are now. And that can't be because black women are ugly.
That's true.
So it's the
reason
why, you know, we're pushed out of certain things, and we can't keep saying, oh, it's just an isolated, incident. Oh, it's just an oversight. I mean, after a few centuries, it goes beyond an oversight.
Wow.
We keep saying that. I don't know if we say it to make ourselves feel better or we don't want to face the truth that, you know, unfortunately, we, to some extent, live under white supremacy.
Wow. But you know what, Lisa, I hear what you're saying, and you kind of touched on something we talked about yesterday, and that's, you know, this color of your skin as far as with our own. If you notice, Iman and what's the other girl name you mentioned?
Naomi.
You know, they are both dark, you know.
Yeah, and most,
they are dark.
And if you notice, too, most of the celebrities, women that are black, they are married to white men, the dark-skinned ones. If you look at, like, a Lynn Winfield, an Alan Woodard, and even the guy that does the Norton antivirus, he's married to a black woman.
I think
sometimes it is the opposite. When you're very dark, there are people who are very people who are very light, and I think that's often that isn't necessarily an issue. It's just that can be an attraction when you're looking for someone lighter. I've never really had that attraction. I remember my son. Still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, Lisa outside walking probably.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I remember one of my son asking me, he said, oh, you know, Mom, I don't know if I can find a good-looking black woman, I don't know. And I said, listen, within black, there's a hundred.
Okay, hold on. I got to mute you, Lisa.
Okay, there's more than 100 days. I said, there's more than 100 within black, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So choose one. This is what I said to him one day. So you choose one. If you know, the great thing at that race is there are so many shades of us, right? You can go from very dark to almost white and still not go white. That's how black is. That when you look at black people, that's the variety that we have. They are light skin blacks. There are very dark skin. I like the blackberry personally, but I've dated guys who are lighter shades too, because I think it's all about the person. You get what I'm saying? But that's a choice that you have. There's so many great shades within us that, you know, why feel that we have to go right out to find something that, you know, go completely Caucasian? That's a choice. I don't understand choosing other things when you just step outside a race. It may be about status. It might be about money, you know, other things. Because, you know, when you speak to men, not even just men in general out there in society about what they like, most of the things that they love, particularly the features of black women are mainly in the black race. Okay, they're mainly in the black race, and even black men themselves say it. So when they don't choose to step outside of the race, why are they choosing to make that choice? Could it be more about than money? I don't think it's about the blackness itself. It just may be about that opportunity to get something that you feel you cannot achieve in your own race. So I think there's that aspect of it as well. I don't think it's ever so clear cut. The media actually supporting that we are the big butts, the big boobs, whatever. You know, that you can't get that unless you inject it in the white race. So, you know, there's not a lot of reason for people to go out there, but there are other reasons why they will. And if we are less powerful, they will. That choice is a greater choice always, to go outside of your race. And I think that's why people make the choice. It's not so much about the race, it's about our lack of power as a race.
Hmm. Wow.
That's an excellent point. And you know what I've found out, too? Some people, you know, they say, oh, I'm tired of black women, I'm going to get Asian or something like that. Usually those are the type of people that are not even familiar with those cultures. So they think they're getting something better, but they're not even familiar with any other culture, so then they get a culture shock.
Right. But they choose the Asians. Why? Probably because they feel Asians are more aggressive, Asians are successful. Why do they do it? Why are these Asians?
Well, you know what? Because I think a lot of times, to be honest, sometimes people can be dissatisfied with themselves. You know what I mean? And they want somebody to kind of make them feel better. I'll give you a perfect example. Say someone like a Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. You know, I'm sure Kim Kardashian tells Kanye West, you're the best rapper in the world, baby. You're this, you're that. However, a black woman may tell him, you know what? You better slow down a little bit. You're acting foolish. You know what I mean? Some people like that yes person. They don't want that woman that will kind of pull them to the side and check them. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But then that's not a problem. That's an issue that we still have to address, black women. Why do we need to check him?
I'm not talking about in a bad way. It's just like if you're married and, you know, let's just say, for instance, your husband, you kind of, I don't know, it's not checked. I'm not trying to say in a mean way to put someone in their place. But what I'm saying is some men want a yes person in their life. They don't want to hear anything negative about themselves.
Right. And so what I'm saying is, being a yes person, sometimes as sisters, we go to, and I'll be honest about it, sometimes we need to soften blow a little bit on our men. And it's not that we have become yes people, but we need to know how to be empowering without making our men feel that they're not, you know, I want them to shine, but still acknowledging that there's some things that just don't need to put a man in check about. I'm not talking about in check.
I'm talking about, I don't know if you've ever watched the old show Good Times.
No.
Okay, well, Mr. Talk knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That was a fat black family that lived in the ghetto. Now, the father, right, he was very aggressive. He wasn't violent, but he was very aggressive. So there were times when his wife, you know, you're going to get arrested, okay, if you don't calm down. That's what I mean, putting somebody in check.
Right.
Pulling their coattails. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about acting a fool or anything like that. You know, giving them a tap, like, wait a second, you know. You know, you don't let someone you love fall flat on their face.
I hear that. But I think
sometimes... As far as making a man feel good, I think that's an individual thing. Because I know someone that is dating an Asian guy, and he doesn't need her to, how can I explain it, to stroke him. Because he's almost 40 years old.
But
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. Most men I don't know, Mr. can tell me, because I'm not a man. Just saying, it's my experience. Most men need their ego stroked even a little, whether you like it or not, they do. And it's not always in the same way, but sometimes they need that little, you know, you're great, honey. And
yeah, I think all men need that.
Yeah, all men need that.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on.
They're very insecure.
Stop the press. No, you know, hey, ain't no fellas, so I'm going to have to stand up for the fellas. No, not all of us need our ego stroked like that, okay?
No, not like that, but even with children. You know, when children do something good, you tell them that they're doing something good.
The praise goes a long way.
Well, see, praise and stroking the ego is different. That's a whole different thing, though.
Well, maybe we need to rephrase it then.
Yeah. Stroke here. I was just playing with you because I knew that would get you out, Mr. Talk. But
uh-huh.
I was saying praise, acknowledgement, you know, respect. Men feel loved. I mean, a woman needs that too, but I think it's a little bit unbalanced. There is a perception, maybe by some of our men and other men too from other communities, maybe sometimes we as women can be a little bit harsh, and maybe that we don't layer like some people may do. It doesn't we have to change. I think sometimes you got to look what is working for you or not working for you in terms of your relationship. And if a lot of people say something, then maybe just something we need to look at. I'm not saying that we necessarily have to change or be what we're not, because what we are is unique to who we are. But at the same time, we need to look at how it doesn't work for us. And sometimes it doesn't work for us, some of the ways
now,
we are
now,
being real.
That, now, when it comes to interracial relationships, I've never heard, like, white guys saying black women are too aggressive. I never heard Asian guys say that. So what is it sometimes with black men when they say it, but it seems like other races of men don't have a problem?
I think when we get together with other races, we soften it. I think
really?
I think the truth
well,
is
you
we're
know
not
what?
Are, when we are with our own, that is the truth. Because I have a sister that's married to a white guy, you know, and she's been married to him for nearly 30 years now. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was one of those white guys who was always in the black community and never really went white guys. But the truth is she's different when she's with him to how she would be if she was with a black man. She has to
now how would she be with a black guy?
Well, I think the harder side of her would come out, because I think the choice she made originally was because she wanted someone who would be different with her. As a result of him being a much easier person, he's not someone who's going to ever get up in her face. He's never someone who's ever going to speak her wrong in any shape or form.
So, wait a minute,
it's not personality.
Like,
you know what it is? It's more perception. And I think that's what it is, more or less. It's the perception that if you with the white guy, you know, you have more stability compared to if you would have you with a black guy, you know, and you know the perception that we all wear our pants down, you know, to our ankles, and you know we all belligerent, and you know we want to hit on women, compared to you know the white guy, they say the white guy, you know he's supposed to be basically docile, you know, and he's going to treat her just right. Yeah, and you know, and the same with the Asian guy, you know.
Is.
And let's be
and
honest about it. That's where it seems. But we do know those that are out here in the real world, we do know that some of them are just as violent or if not worse than, you know, the black guy. But it's all the perception. It's all the perception that we have. And with the media pushing in that agenda all the time, you know, everybody is seeing it that way, you know. And, you know, even in our own communities, though, and here's the thing about that. A lot of times we feed into that perception, you know, because only thing, think about when they show things on TV, what they show, the low-income areas, You know, they don't show any affluent black couples, anything like that. They don't. So, you know, you have to take a look at those kind of things. But that is a good point that y'all did bring up, though. You know, as you said, Ebony, she, when she's with him, she acts totally different than if she was with a black guy. You know?
I don't understand that, because I went out with a black guy, a white guy maybe 5 or 6 years ago. The way I don't, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to think back. You know, I didn't make any change or any adjustment. And
right.
He didn't either. And maybe because back then, how old was I? Maybe 35 or 36, maybe because I was older. And as you get older, you're like, it is what it is. And if you don't like it, you can just keep it moving. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to put up a front for the rest of my life. Somebody is white.
Yeah,
that seems
I
like too much of a hassle.
Yeah,
better just get a brother.
Yeah, you might think so. I think, you know, that difference of who that person is can, you know, can affect who you are with that person. And even though you know, you might think, oh, no, I'm changing in any way. I'm being myself. No, you're not. No, you're not. Someone only has to sit and watch you, how you speak, how you might behave, and they will see that difference in you. And it is because of...
Even
because
if I were dating Eminem...
Yeah,
oh,
even if he's taking him.
He's from Detroit, and he grew up harder than I did.
let's really take a look at that. And you know, anyone who's had a bill collector or somebody call their house, you know, especially if you black people, what you say? Oh, I got to put my white voice on, right? You for some reason you don't feel like you can be you in that situation, so you have to put your unquote unquote white voice on to deal with the white race. And I think that's how a lot of people actually feel when it comes into dating outside the race as well. And it's just interesting that the dynamic that creates, you know, because your kids see you doing it.
Yeah.
So as they grow up, they feel that you have to do it, that they have to do it as well to be successful. And, you know, it's just one of those things.
After a while, though, doesn't that fade after they meet your family and everything? Because everybody, quote-unquote, isn't going to keep up that, quote-unquote, white standard in your family.
You'd be surprised. You will be surprised.
Well, you know,
your family may not.
Like family, but you will be who you are in that relationship.
Right.
Because in order to sustain that relationship, you have to remain the way that you are. The time you will relax is when you're with your family, just your family.
Really?
But when you're with that person,
yes, really.
There will always be that persona.
No, the reason, somebody very close to me, like I'm saying, is dating an Asian guy, and actually they met while they were coworkers, and they're still coworkers. It's been almost a year.
Wow.
And so far, no change. You know, it's almost like, hey, this is how the family is. It is what it is. Come on over. Have a seat. You know, I mean, we're not going to sit up here and change up everything for one person.
Look, honestly, looking at it honestly like that, here it is. The Asians are not given the same, oh, man, how can I say, stature as the white. No, as the white. So, you know, you feel basically you can be the same with the Asian, but when you're around the white, you can't do that.
Well,
you're in California. See, I ain't even going to California on you like that. Hold on. Let me bring Dave and Vicky in. All right. Hello, Dave and Vicky. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
All right,
yeah, I need to jump back a little here because I was freaking out in here. You know, I need to jump back on that ego thing. You know, the thing about me and
all right, has their television on or radio. Can you turn it down a little bit?
Mr. Chalk, can you mute me? Because I got some background noise.
Okay, I shall, Lisa.
All right, thanks.
Okay, go ahead, Dave. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump back on this ego thing real quick. You know, it's like this perception that, you know, men have this thing, they have a big ego, you know. Women have the biggest ego in the world. And on top of that, they don't really, it's not an insult, because if you could place that title, men having an ego and you have to rub it, then most men basically always say that most women don't know how to work with logic. You don't know how. I just want to throw that in there, okay? Mm-hmm. Because before you work with logic, you would get offensive, you get defensive, you get rude, you get loud, so on and so on. So if you're going to tag men with this ego thing, then the same thing must be stand true with women who can't work with logic. So if that stands true, I'd rather have an ego. I'd rather not have an ego and just have logic then. You know, so it goes both ways. But, you know, what they're seeing, you know, right now, it really doesn't make, you know, it makes the other young lady, the one with the accent, what's her name?
Ebony.
The accent? The accent?
Oh, yeah. I'm from the UK. Thank you.
UK, right?
Yeah, I'm from the UK.
Yeah, I had put up there in the chat that, you know, I like ladies with accents, with British accents. So I'm just giving you a compliment. You have a nice accent. That's all that
thank
was.
Thank you. Thank you. Why, thank you.
And everything that you're putting out there, you know, you really make sense. It's like refreshing. It's like, you know, I need to come over to the UK or something, because you're really making sense as a woman compared to, and I have to go there, compared to some of the women here. I don't put all women in one category, but the stuff that you're saying, you know, I do agree with it. I don't have any problem with interracial relationships. I don't have a problem with that, because people are going to do what people are going to do, no matter what you say. Okay. Now, and as far as, you know, pants and, you know, different weight races, how they act, you know, I've been in the military. I've worked around, you know, white Asians and so on and so on. They go through the same exact thing. Okay. No race is really better than the other. What it is it's mostly African Americans, the black race, anyone with that dark complexion, however they label you. It's put out there for the world to see. See, because this is one thing I know, and I know it for a fact. African-Americans, and anyone with that, UK, whatever, you know, from that black descent, we are very talented people. We are very smart people, see. And what happens is society wants to keep us back, because they don't want that true talent and that true genius to come out, okay? Because we do have a lot of talent, just like that gentleman had said before, Robert or whatever his name was. Young people have so much talent, but they get so consumed with what the media and these commercials put out there. Like I said yesterday, that dumb tube that everybody look at, that's the most useless piece of garbage that the society can sit down and watch. Because only thing it tells you is, this is how you need to act, this is how you need to wear your hair, this is the complexion you need, this is the education you need. If you're like this, you're nothing. If you act like this, you're nothing. And most of the time, they're putting blacks up there and say, if you act like this, you're nothing. Now, let me correct something here. As I said, I was in the military. They had plenty of white guys, black in the eyes of white girls. Okay, they had plenty of Asians, black in the eyes of their Asian wives. Same thing. Okay, no one is different. It's just that the blacks are polarized more. Okay, white guys walk around with the pants hanging down. The same thing. Yeah, they. It's pretty much like they're a privileged bunch of people, which we know through society is true. Now, if people back in the days were given the same chance as their white counterparts, we would have either been even with them, or most likely, I'm going to say it, would have bypassed them. Because a lot of stuff that was brought over here, a lot of slaves that was brought over here, I got to go back, they developed into a bunch of geniuses, people who invented things. And if you look back, a lot of the stuff that was invented in the United States, okay, most of it was by black people. It really was. What happened was the white people took it and improved upon the idea, okay? And I'm going to end on this one right here. Just take it back to you ever heard the old saying, the real McCoy? Has anybody ever heard that saying?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, the real McCoy, that what happened was it was this, it was African-American man that worked for a railroad, okay? Now, the trains had to stop at certain times a lot during the day or during their travel to get the wheels or the gears oiled, okay? This black man came up with something to where the train would not have to stop anymore and oil the rotors as it went so it wouldn't not have to make stops. They called it the real McCoy. Now, just think, if that black man was not here, okay, probably the train still be sitting over there in the junkyard somewhere, you know, and they still oiling it. So my point is, regardless of what everybody say, you know, we still got to love ourselves. We got so much power, and of course, they're going to keep us apart, because once you have people getting together with a lot of power, they see that. Okay, just like in the 60s, we stopped them off the bus. We didn't have the bus. Okay, that hurt them. They needed that money. Okay, certain things we didn't shop at the stores. We didn't go to that diner. It hurt them. Now they have put us in a place to where we need these things. But instead of saying, okay, well, you know what? We're not going to get them this way. We're going to place them over here and put them in those jobs. So they try to say, you know, we're not going to shop here, we're not going to rat here. Guess what? We're going to say, hey, they'll lose a lot of people here are going to lose their jobs. But back to that, it does not matter about the color. It matters about what you know about your past and how you use that.
All right. Okay.
I'd like to ask Dave a question.
Okay, but you got a hum there. Somebody's got a hum.
I don't think it's me.
Okay.
Well, I'll call in again. I just called back in.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't think it's you. Can see. Would you please? I'll do it myself.
Okay, hold on. Let me see. Okay, let me see. No, it's not you. All right, it's not you. Let me
see. Okay. So
I'll find it in a minute.
I wanted to ask Dave, I noticed when you first started off, you said most women, and I think, and you spoke a lot about how the media portrays black women and black people in general, and I think you're absolutely correct. But I was just wondering if you would say something about what you think as far as the relationships between black women and men, quote, black women and men in America, regarding how it seems that there's a large number of black women that have been put in the place of making more money, and it's so hard for the brothers, you know. I mean, it's purposely being made hard for the brothers that don't have a higher education. And even some of those who have been to college are suffering greatly now in regards to, you know, the downfall of the economy. So do you think that the problem of, you know, of how black men see black women have anything to do with that dynamic, Dave?
No, I don't think it, you know, I don't think it do. But it's, to me, it's kind of like a setup, okay? It's kind of like a setup. As I say, you know, I love being black. I have never, ever, ever, ever dated outside of my race. I've had some not-so-good relationships where we still stay friends, and I still love black women no matter what, because I don't base it on color. I base it on what I like, who I love, what they, you know, what they bring to me as far as caring. Now, as far as...
kind of music going on there?
That's Empress Telephone. She's
okay.
It now.
I'm going to try to make this real quick then. Okay, but as far as the, it to me, that's kind of like a setup. See, because if you take strength from a man or power from a man, okay, I'm just saying any man, okay, that's going to put them back a little bit. The more power you can take from someone, okay, the less likely it's going to be for them to form, you know, a decent union with someone else, because the media, it basically tells a lot of black women that, you know what, you need to have this education, this, and this. That makes you better. That puts you in this position. So therefore, if you're working and you have this position, that education, you're part of us now. You're accepted. You know, we like you now. But if you don't have it, it's kind of like you're not accepted. Now, it's kind of like what I tell people. It's like I thought to write a book on it. It's like a day without a black man, okay? If all the black men disappear right now, okay, what will the sisters do, okay? I asked one sister that. She said, I'll go give me a white man. I said, well, you know what? Do you think that those white women are going to let you take the men that look like them? She said, yeah. I said, you know what? I said, you are delusional. I said, because what's going to happen is you're going to end up being a maid, this and the other. I said, that's why they're not messing with the sisters, because the brothers, no matter how much some of them may dislike sisters, would go crazy, and they're going to start something, and people are going to be sorry, okay? Now, I rehearsed the same thing the day, you know, without a black woman. They just start shooting the brothers, hanging us left and right if we look at a white lady. You know, so we need each other. See, we cannot function, we cannot live without each other. The sisters need our strength, and the brothers need the sisters' strength too. And we don't realize that because the society is telling the sisters mostly that most of your men are in prison. I did a little survey just yesterday because I knew something like that may come up one day. There's more men, black men in college than there is in the prison. Everybody keeps looking at, again, at this dumb tube, and that's feeding you all that junk. Sisters say there are no good black men out there, okay? There's plenty of good black men out there. Maybe some of those good black men that are out there, they don't want to be a part of that mess. I consider myself a great black man, but guess what? I don't want to be part of that mess. I don't need no one doing the things, you know, these unnecessary things to me. So I kind of sit back and I concentrate on building my business and so on and so on. Brothers are not too much into stuff and these degrees and everything, even though I think that they should start getting more degrees, but it's not going to do you any good if you're not going to start a business with it. And when sisters do tell me that, it's a disappointment, because that's what chases a lot of brothers away. Because I can ask a sister, she don't know what my educational level is. She can say, I had this, that, and the other. I'm humble about my stuff. I won't tell her. But I asked a sister with a degree, and any that's listening, I would ask you, okay, why would you go get a degree, tell other people I have this, that, and the other, so you have to get to this point and make six figures. Okay, now they say this kind of stuff. That makes the brother back up. Now, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you go make six figures, get the exact same degree that the person you're working for that started and built the company, but yet you can tell everybody that you have this degree, you're this knowledgeable, this, that, and the other? No, that means that you didn't get out of the education that you needed to, and you're not that knowledgeable, and you're really not that educated, no matter how many masters you got, because you're still working for the person that you went to school with that built the company.
Well, thank you, Dave. Those are very interesting points, and I agree with most of them, but let me reformulate the question. My question to you was concerning the dynamic in this society where it's obvious that it's been by design that there's an attempt to break up the family and to put pressure on black males, quote, black males, in this society. And my question to you is, as regard to relationships, do you feel that that has an impact on, quote, black males' view of black women in general? Do you think that puts pressure on our ability to interrelate and interact with each other? Hope that was more clear.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yes, it does. It only puts a strain on that relationship. It only puts a strain on there when the other person with that education and that degree don't understand that the words that they say to that person that does not have that degree is a very hurtful thing to try to, it's kind of like belittling someone. I have a degree and you don't. So that person may feel as if they're not sufficient enough for you, okay, for that other person that they want to be with. You know, now that could go both ways. You know, they have men that, you know, get degrees, and they feel the same way about the sisters until they sit down and they understand that a degree is not going to make you happy. You know, they're going to fail each other. They're going to end up in these marriages that I see, you know, where you have college-educated people still divorcing. You have more women at 77% divorcing their men, you know. So it's kind of like what you bring to the table. And then, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're right on point. But, Brother Dave, we have young people 25, 27 years old where the wife is maybe making only $22,000 a year and the husband's just barely making $10,000. So I'm not dealing with people in who have degrees. There's a lot of people out here that are really devastated by the condition of the economy. So, and I'm not just directing my question about people who are already in relationships. I'm directing the question at, do you think it makes it difficult for us even to get in to embrace one another? Because, you know, there's also been studies done to say 75% of women won't even look at a man that doesn't have a job.
Mm-hmm. And I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that issue, it does impact, because if you have two people that's struggling, financially, that's going to put a strain. But again, it's called communication, knowing yourself.
Question, Brother Dave, how does that impact black men's view of black women?
It really does not impact a view that black men, I'm just saying, maybe from a personal point, it does not matter. It really don't impact black men, because we don't really care about what someone have or their stuff or their education or, the amount of money. We just don't care. Most black women.
Brother Dave, are you being real with me, Brother Dave?
I'm being, you know why I'm being real? Because I put it this way. I have plenty of stuff. I'm very financially secure. Believe me, I am. And I have dated women that was six figures, okay? But they just, I don't have time for nonsense, I have dated someone who don't make that much money, who may work at a retail store, just as sweet as they can be. It does not matter to me, because I know what I'm capable of doing. If I know that I'm capable of taking care of someone and providing for them, I don't worry about that.
Excuse me for a minute, Dave. You know what, Sister Ngoni, and he said something that is very true. You know, most times men do not, we don't care about that. You know, if they happen to be financial successful, whatever, that's a plus. You know, but if we like you, we like you. It's just that's the bottom line. Now, of course, in this day and age, more of the black young men consider themselves entrepreneurs, so they're not worried about that, because they're working to get their own anyway, so they don't have to depend on anyone else. So it's just one of those things. Now I see Yolanda say, "Bull, some black men are looking for a come up women with money." Yeah, I mean, we can't say all black men, but in this case, Yolanda, there are some that are looking for you know, a comeuppance, as you say. But in the big scheme of thing, we don't worry about that because we know we are taking care of ourselves and we can take care of them. So if we choose to, let me change that, if we choose to. So that's all it is.
If you have no source of income because you were one who has been devastated by the economy, say you've been a working man for the last 20 years, but because of the economy, you've lost your job and you can't replace it, and say you're in your 50s or something like that, you know, you're not 22. How would that impact you as far as you approaching women or trying to get into a relationship?
I mean, that would probably affect me in a very negative way because
Yes, ma'am.
I can hear you.
I was asking Eric to respond.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Well, go ahead. What was the question again?
I gave a scenario.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you're a good person. You know, you worked over, say, 20 years of your life. You find yourself now in your mid-50s. For some reason, because of the economy, you can't, you know, replace yourself or rebuild yourself economically, and you're in a hard time right now. So how would that impact you as a man as far as, you know, trying to relate with women? You're telling me that would have any impact on you at all?
I mean, no, as far as what? I'm not understanding. As far as seeking a woman or being with a woman?
In relationships.
In relationships, depends. You know what? And this goes back. I'm glad you asked that question. Because with me, I would say no. Because number one, I know I got to get myself straight first. But also, I would not be dealing with the kind of women that it just would be materialistic. You understand what I'm saying? But to answer your question, yes, it would affect me in some kind of way, but I am confident enough that I wouldn't just settle for being, you know, down and out, I guess you can basically say. I would still be working toward to make it happen.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I can only speak for me in this situation, but that's the way I would do it. It wouldn't stop me from looking, you know, if a woman would approach me and I like her. No, I mean, I would be upfront with her and tell her, look, I'm having a hard time right now. But, you know, if she can work with that, we can get together. We can work on it together. You know, but, it's not a necessity that she have anything, because if I like her, I like her.
Well, I was just trying to get to whether or not there was something that was, you know, causing static between black men and black women in this society, because there has been a effort to keep black men down and to put women out in the workplace as opposed to being in the homes. Not to say that's the only place they belong, but it's obvious that that's been done by design to break up the black family.
You know what has really done the most damage right now, and I know I'm finna get jumped on, but I'm gonna tell you, feminism. You know, because in a lot of instances, you hear, especially in the black community, I don't need no man. I can take care of my own, you know.
Well,
a lot of them walk around with that attitude. You know, if you a man got it going on, I can pay for my own. I don't need you for nothing. You know what I mean? And it's true. It's true.
But wait a minute, Eric.
You have to look at that as well.
Wait a minute, Eric. Because, see, what I think you're doing is you're using a traditional view of a relationship.
That's not the kind of relationship that people have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm just telling you what's going on.
What Kirsten said was right. I mean, that feminism thing came in here. Because, first of all, can I say something real quick? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Okay, what happened was back in the 60s, okay, and we all know this, the feminism thing was started with the white women, okay, they wanted to get out of the kitchen, they wanted to get out of that, but if you think, okay, during those days, the black women were out being nanny, maid, and they were working, they wasn't just in the house, so what happened was the weak people they needed some power. They needed some strength, as I spoke of earlier. So they went and got the scissors and said, you know what? you know, we're not getting equal rights. We're not getting this. We're stuck in the house. We're doing this, that, and other. That was not true. That was not true. They needed some type of power base to help them out. So then all of a sudden you see on the Internet, like Eric said, if a woman say, I don't need you to take care of me, this, that, and the other, that's a lie. Because first of all, if you don't need no man to take care of you, okay, well, don't go and don't call the plumber. He's a man. Don't call the electrician. He's a man. Don't call the telephone. He's a man. Wait till you get a company that that a woman owns, and then you have the women coming. Other than that, that's just a lie. Women need men no matter what.
Well, Dave, okay,
I think
you can look at how feminism, and I agree that it has affected our relationships. However, you can go back to World War II when they put posters of white women, Ruby the Riveter, because all the men, black and white, were being sent overseas to fight the war, and they needed bodies in the factories. That's how they wooed women out of the house. And then after World War I, wait a minute, wait, let me finish, please. After World War II, I'm sorry, after World War II or one, whichever war, then they gave us Father Knows Best, okay? So now once a woman got a taste of being able to develop herself beyond house duties, housework, and I personally think that women have an obligation and a responsibility to develop themselves also as far as education and to be able to take care of themselves. However, I'm not saying that that means that they shouldn't be able to work in partnership with their man and their family.
But what I'm saying is the black women were already out working, okay? The black women were already out working. They were
in the toilet. Yeah, they were.
Yes, they was out. They were called the wags, okay? They also had them. They went to Europe. They went to Italy. And most of the time they worked as nurses. You had lieutenants there. You had high-ranking officers there that were black women. Black women did not have a problem, you know, with being out there working because their men were, them, black men and black women during those days were working. They had to work in order to keep
that together. I'm confused because you start talking about them working overseas. I remember when my mother had to sit on the corner waiting for the bus because the only jobs black women could get to help support the family was cleaning up other folks' houses.
And I did mention that. Remember I said they were nannies and I said they were maids. And I also put in there that they worked overseas in the military. See, they joined the military too. They were called the WATC, W-A-T-C. You know, they were actually the colored nurses in the Nurses Army Corps over there. Okay? Now, they were already out working. They had nothing to do with that feminine mess that they had going on. It was mostly the white women that were stuck in the house. Just like that, those TV shows that you see, whatever they are, you know, Leave It to Beaver, those type of women and stuff, they wanted to get out the house. They got bored. Most of black men and black women was out there working because they had to have two jobs in order to maintain their nucleus family that they had. But now these days, the society has told them, guess what? We got the welfare system. We got everything else for the women. You don't need a man. Okay, we're going to make sure you get in college because you're a minority woman, but we're going to put you in college. Therefore, you don't need a man. Now I can look on the Internet and stuff, look all over the place. You have a lot of these young boys out here, you know, fighting each other like little girls, slapping each other with the fingers. You have them out here acting like little girls and stuff. Where did they learn that mess from? Where did they learn this mess from? But why do they need so many just... Hold just a second. Why do they need so many mentors out here? Okay, if black women kind of look at the fact that okay, you need to slow down on a lot of different things, and sometimes you need to be humble about your words. I think they will get along with black men a lot better. Not saying that it's not black men out there that disrespect each other, but black women and black men disrespect each other until they sit down and stop thinking that one is smarter than the other, you know, we're going to continue to have a problem. They need to both sit down and say, you know what, we're not smarter than each other. We're on the same sheet of music. We're smarter than them. Let's get it right.
I agree with that point. Thank you very
much.
That's
a very good point. Very good point.
Good point.
But you know what? I brought Vicky in, and I haven't heard anything from Vicky, so let's get Vicky's point of view, and then we're going to bring Maze into the conversation. Vicky, are you there?
And let me, Vicky, because it's been a long time since she's been on, and I just love her. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Dolly. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay. It's been, I'll have to say, it's lovely to hear my darling Ebony on as well. But it's been a lovely conversation. I listened to your podcast yesterday while I was at the farm today. And it's really funny because I spoke to Ebony this evening and I sort of shared, I've had the most, all the things you've talked about, I've actually gone through. You know, I'm a black woman, but I was brought up in a predominantly white area. My first boyfriend was a white guy. And I dated predominantly white men most of my life because that's where I live or where I work, that's who I met, that's who were attracted to me, or vice versa. And it's been a really interesting listening to how everyone's got these things. And I was saying to Ebony tonight, I had a real healing moment. My mother initially was like, oh, I don't want to see you with this other person. I don't want you to be with this white guy. Treated me like a princess. Absolutely treated me like an absolute princess. But she didn't want me to be with him just because of his colour. And then it's roll on a few years and basically I made a conscious effort to say, right, no, I won't date white guys anymore. I'm only going to date a black guy. And I've never been successfully able to have a relationship since then, which is really funny, quite frankly. And my mother then just turns around now, and I'm saying it to Ebony, that she's like, oh, forget about the brothers. Just date a white man. Get yourself a white guy. And it's just so funny. Listen to my mother kind of going from hate them, hate them, hate them. Oh, no, these are better. And she's just changing all the way along the way. Because I listened to Lowe's stance. I listened to Sister Ottawa's stance yesterday. And I thought, oh, my God. And my brother only will date white women. And I know why he does. I won't tell him why he does. And it's because me and my mother are quite opinionated. We've got a sense of power in us. And he doesn't want to have that in his house. He needs somebody less than him, so he won't date black for that reason. So it's funny, and then even David's comment earlier about that men aren't worried about our degrees and stuff. And when I had gone out dating, I remember I had a very, very nice car, right? I bought a very, very nice big SUV. I don't know why. I wanted it. I liked it. I bought it. And couldn't get a date. I'd go on a date. It was the funniest thing. I'd go on a date and you turn up with this car on the date, you know, because I didn't want to let them drive me. I'd drive to meet them and they'd be like, whose car's that? My car. And there was, I'm sorry, I don't care what David said. There, I mean, I have a degree. I own my own home, all of those things. There was, you could feel the noticeable disagreement of who you were because you had those things. And there were so many guys in that year. I don't know when I bought the car. But I had to I realized that the car said something because the car was bigger than their car. And there was a whole lot of dialogue about what I had and who I was. And they don't really know me yet. But what I presented did cause an effect. I know that guys say they're not interested and they don't mind if they go out the girl that works in McDonald's or blah, blah, blah. But you can sense it. You can really sense it, right? And I'm not somebody that brags about what I do. I'm not earning six figures, so I'm not on that scale to do all those things. But it doesn't matter. Regardless, I've had so many guys that start talking to me and say, you've got too much. You've got too much stuff. You know, and they just disappear because they just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to take it on. But you have to keep moving on. And it's been a lovely conversation listening to all the elements that have gone on. And as a person that's gone from dating white people to being with black people and all the various ups and downs and da-da-da, and I still don't even know where I am right now. It's a lovely conversation. I'm really pleased to be part of it.
Well,
Oh, God. No way.
Okay.
What? What is it? Oh, gosh. Ross,
I can't believe you just said that. Because you had a car that the guy disappeared. I can't, you know, that's an imagination I have never heard of.
No.
That's why when I go meet someone, I drive the beat up old raggedy car, and then they think that I don't have anything. That's when I go back with the nice big old Infiniti SUV, and then they want to change their mind. I have never heard anything like that in my life. I have dated someone that didn't even have a car.
Can I see now? Some people.
Hello.
Hold on. Okay, just a moment, Maeve.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. No. I had a Murano. To me, it wasn't even a brand new one. It was, you know, but it happened four times, and I sort of rule: if something happens three times,
it was something you said. I'm telling you. It wasn't that car. It was something you said. You probably bragged on your car, and no one wants to hear someone bragging on their car. Because you just mentioned a couple of times that it was so slick, it's slicker than his. You probably told him that he was like, you know what? I'm slicker than her. I don't want to mess with her.
Wow.
But there you go. If you're going to say that because somebody turns up in a certain vehicle, then that's an issue for you. It's not my fault if I like what I like. Simple as
but
that.
That's what you just said that your vehicle was slicker than his. You sound like a very nice woman and everything. You sound very sweet. But if I came to meet you and you said something about your slick car, you know, it's like, you know what, you're materialistic. I don't have time for that.
David, I never said anything about my slick car. I said turned up in the car.
You said your car was slicker than his.
No, I said I turned up in my car. And that was what the response was. Okay?
Okay.
I don't,
you think that they ran because of your car?
It happened. This is my experience.
Oh, your car. You got to be kidding me. You know what? Like I said, you sound sweet, but you sound kind of like delusional.
Lord.
I'm not being in a bad way. I'm just saying, I'm not insulting her. I'm serious. She sounds very sweet, but I'm just trying to let her know that it had to have been something that she said because it's a hot rod or something like that. We're not going to run from an SUV because you got an SUV. She got an SUV. I can't talk to her.
I don't know. I need to get some leave in Bay or something. David, you're a man.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a woman. That's just what happened. It's my experience.
Right.
Thank you.
And okay, don't get me wrong, I'm being respectful. I like her and everything. She's getting that point across. I'm not upset or nothing like that. I'm just amazed about, you know, I guess if I meet someone with a nice car, you know, I don't know. I guess I'd probably disappear too.
That's you. I'm stating my experience. You're trying to negate my experience. That's what's happened. It's happened four times, so it's got to be something. So let's let it go. Woosla, Maeve. Hello, darling. How are you?
Hello.
Go ahead, Maeve.
I have some questions for David. I was listening to him when he was saying feminist. It wasn't about feminists. It was about the black man had the freedom to date other women besides a black woman. He walked out the door and left her. She had to go and get a job because it was against the law for him to do other things or he might have been hung for looking at somebody besides her. At the time when he had to look at her, they were close. And when he had the opportunity to step outside the boundary, he walked outside the door and she had to go to work. And then you say women need men. Women do electricians. They fix cables. See, everything mostly men do, a woman does too. She even served in the military.
Everything you stated, I already said.
I just told you what the problem is. He left and went. He saw something that he thought was different than her. She had to clean the toilets and everything to make it work. It would never work when you have two people thinking that they got to compete against each other to do things.
Yeah.
It's either some women have put men through school, he walked out on her.
Mm-hmm.
And some women sit at home with the children while the woman works. It's a partnership.
She would say that. That's what I'm saying. It was amazing that she said that three guys did not take her
because she had an SUV. That's just amazing.
She didn't say that. She said I was shocked because she rode an SUV.
Because it was a slick SUV.
No, we not. You hadn't answered my question.
Okay, what was the question? I didn't hear you all the way through.
Out of all the things that I said, I said some women have put me in through school, and when they finished, they left them. And some men stay home with their children while their wife works. What's wrong with sharing the burden and that's what's wrong.
But see, yeah, as I said before, I don't take sides. Women use the same thing. Women do the exact same thing, but most of the time it's more polarized because women are like, you know, hey, I helped this guy do this and I helped this guy do that. You know what? I helped somebody get their master's before while I just worked, and I wasn't even married to them. And guess what?
We're still not together.
But what I'm saying is I'm not making up. I'm telling you the facts, what I have went through. But guess what? I didn't hold it against her. Only thing it did was batter her, and I was cool with that. But
as far as a woman
helping a man, it doesn't really matter because it goes both ways. Women do the same thing.
They both do the same thing, but she's always put her blame for it. I mean, she helped out a man, and some men sit home with the children today.
Right.
That's a partnership.
Am I on? Hello?
Lisa.
You on, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi, Lisa.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I'm getting so tired of this, feminism and black women. First of all, my mom was in her early 20s during the second wave of feminism in the 1960s. Her main concern was trying to get a job, and not only that, trying to deal with the assassination of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., and Robert Kennedy. The average black woman of that generation who was in her early 20s was not running around trying to be a feminist. They had better things to do. They had to deal with the civil rights movement. I don't know where men were talking about black women and feminism in the 1960s, and that was null and void back then.
And I said that, too. I said that black women was not part of that. Black women was not part of that at first. They was part of the civil rights movement. They were part of the black power movement.
So when do you think they became a part? And what percentage of black women do you think participated?
Well, see, I'm not even going to go on percentage because I don't have those statistics in front of me until I go and research them, and then I could probably bring them back.
You don't
but
have
I'm not...
to research. You can just look around at your
no,
own
No, I don't
family.
Have to look around. No, I don't have to look. What I'm saying is
the average black woman
the
wasn't
thing.
Even involved
you stated
in
the same
feminism.
Thing that I said. You said that they were not participating in the feminism. I said the same thing. I said, no, they were not. They were out working just like that black men were in order to make it because they needed to have two incomes compared to the white people that only had one income.
So I agree with you.
I didn't have a problem with what you were saying.
Okay, so why did you bring up feminism
in
this conversation?
I
didn't hear you.
What
why did I what?
Yeah. Why did you bring it up in the first place? What was the point of the conversation?
No, the point of the conversation was they asked me a question, so I answered it. And that was the answer that I gave because they were talking basically about the relationship and the young lady that came on there was basically talking about, you know, what the black men did and what the black women were doing. Black men and black women, they were more together back then than they are now. You did not
well,
hear
I
that.
Well, I think that's all. Well,
you did not
to be honest,
hear that. You didn't let me finish completing my sentence. You did not have
go
that
ahead.
Many black families back then that was divorcing like they are now. Back
do you
then,
know why?
That back then, that many black women were not attending universities because the whites were not allowing them to do
but
so.
They were going
so
to university.
Now they are attending the university, okay, and you still have a lot of black men out here doing that too. They're just as strong, just as independent as the next person, okay? I'm sorry, go ahead, ma'am.
They were
no, what I was saying,
there were school teachers and there were doctors. They were attending universities back in the day.
Right, they were doing that
thing. Well, it's more black women with businesses now than it is black men.
But I wasn't
that's
talking
very
about
true.
Now, I was talking about what they wasn't allowed to do then back then, but now that they are allowed to do that on the backs of the black men and the black women that died for them, okay, they need to be more appreciative, because once you get your education, you're supposed to use that education, and I stick to this until the day of my death. You're supposed to use that education to upbring your community. Don't
Who
run away from
not?
It. Run out
Who
in the
says
suburbs. Don't run out in the suburbs and tell everybody else you have a degree. You come back to your community with
Who
that education.
What are you talking about?
You come back to the community.
You keep using this blanket
you come
statement.
Back to the, because you just made, I'm trying to make the point for you, okay? After you get all the education, I was talking about the feminism, okay? They were not allowed to get that type of education. So now that they do, okay, whether you be a feminist or not, the feminist education or whatever you have, bring it back to your community and help your community. Don't run out in the suburbs. I have seen so many people with these degrees and stuff, and it's kind of
so you want me to stay in the hood after
had,
I get a college
the people
degree?
That had and went to
come
jail
on,
for them and lost
on.
Their freedom, guess what? They don't come back. They don't get the education that they got and fought for to bring it back and uplift their community. They don't do it. They are selfish,
what?
And they go back and they get their little
no,
car,
no,
their
no,
house,
no, no,
condos,
no,
or whatever.
No, no. First of all, what is your first of all, what's your definition of a community?
I don't need
because
to give you
just,
a definition of a
yes,
community.
You,
you already
yes,
know
you
the
do,
definition.
We,
you already
no, no,
know
no,
the definition.
All,
don't ask me
no,
the
no,
definition.
No, 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 no.
If you don't know no, nothing,
first
if you know
all,
the definition,
I'm
don't
talking,
ask me.
Okay?
If you know the definition,
of,
don't
no,
ask
no, no.
me.
Okay, you
should not have to
ahead.
Ask me.
Dave,
all right,
talking
all
all
right.
This stuff. To, wait, Mr. Trump,
right.
Can I just say one
hold
thing?
Hold on, Lisa. Because
he
hold
keeps
on,
talking
Lisa.
About going to the community.
Hold on, Lisa. Hold on. I mean, it's getting good, y'all, but we're going to have to hold up right there. Because it's going on 4:30 my time. So, but you know what? That's a good starting point for tomorrow. I'm sure we'd be ready to handle that. So go and get your research done, and part three coming tomorrow. That's all I can say. But before I get out of here, though, we get out of here, I'm going to let y'all get your last words in like I always do. And since Lisa hadn't finished, we're going to let her start and get her last words in. All right, so it's on you, Lisa. What you going to do?
I was going to say just because a group of black people live together, that does not make a community. A community is a collective, not because we all live together. And as far as I'm concerned, we do not have a black community. That does not exist. So just because someone grew up in Compton and they get a degree, talking about come back to Compton when we don't even own nothing there. That's not a community.
Hmm. Wow. All right. Thank you, Lisa. And I'll tell you, but
oh,
Lisa
been
following me a long time. And that's a great point. And I hope you'll be back tomorrow to carry on this conversation for sure. Oh, all right. Let me bring Miss Mays in. All right, Mays, it's on you. What you going to do?
Well, I'm not saying anything. I just was asking him questions and tell him how they left the woman because he had the freedom to date something else besides the black woman. And they stepped outside the bounds. So she went into the military and she did everything that she had to do to survive. So now the tables have turned. They're switching it around. So now somebody's going to have to deal with something different and something new. That's all I got to say.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you, ma'am. And I know you'll be here tomorrow.
I sure will.
All righty. Thank you, Maze. All right. Miss Vicky, you on. Go for it.
Great conversation. You know, I'm sorry, David, you got me completely wrong. I tried to get it through to you, but you just had your bit about what I said. But, no, great conversation. It's an interesting conversation, and, no, I enjoyed it. So it's a good show. Good show, Eric. Good show.
Well, thank you, ma'am, and thank you. And I don't know how to say it. I'm just so happy to hear your voice. You know, you're usually hanging out somewhere else on other people's shows. But thank you for coming back, but I ain't mad at you. All right. Well, thank you, Vicky. Hopefully you'll be back tomorrow.
Bye-bye, Vicky.
Bye, darling.
All right. Let's see. Mr. Dave, you up.
You say Dave?
Yes, you.
All right. Well, first of all, you know, I want to, if I offended anyone, I'm sorry about that. But I just get passionate when it comes to my people, okay? and maybe a young lady, what was the name, Vicky or something with the accent?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Vicky.
Maybe I misheard or something, about the way she spoke certain words or something. But if I misunderstood, maybe I'll try to correct that tomorrow on what she said. But as far as the community is concerned, gee, that's the problem. A lot of people don't understand where community starts. It starts just like a church. Church starts in your heart. It don't start when you get inside the building. If you have a sense of community, it starts in your heart. A sense of community is getting out there doing something to improve the place where you live, to help these young people, to help the people out, to help the younger people. That is truly community. And until you understand that community and comes from the heart, that's where it starts, okay? Of course, if you don't have it in your heart, you will never be a part of a community.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And once again, thank you for participating, and look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. All right, and let's see. We have Miss Ebony Empress. Ebony, go for it.
Hi. So my last words, I just wanted to say great show. And I think we need each other. You know, black men, black women need each other. We need each other. And sometimes things get in the way. And I understand the conversation about some of the behaviors, some of the ways that we have been with each other, some of the history that we have between ourselves and how we've treated ourselves has got us part of the way of where we are to where we are right now. So there is a lot of history and there are a lot of reasons why things are the way they are. But I think the change starts us. And if you want something different, then you have to do something different. And I think you understand the history, but, you know, moving forward, you've got to leave some things behind. And one of the things that is so important is to just love everything we are. And then that is the start of something new. That's the start of everything we want. And it's community. It's community. If it's a oneness, it's a oneness. If it's togetherness, it's togetherness. If it's overcoming some of the issues that we have with how we treat each other and the respect that we need for each other, that can also change. But it starts with us. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, thank you, ma'am. And see you tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, love
you. Go on and plug it for tomorrow now. Go on and get your show in, too, because, you know, we roll together like that.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to talk about kissing and hugging and being publicly affectionate and how, you know, we can do that. And I think sometimes some people have an issue show affection in relationships, and maybe that could be a lack of love or not understanding how to express or not wanting to express in certain ways. But we're going to talk about that on Thursday.
Okay.
Bye from Houston. So people go check out Ebony Empress. Sorry if you don't know my show. It's called Ebony Empress Show, and it's on 5 p.m. Eastern. So straight after Mr. Talk tomorrow.
That's right. Usually we go right over after I finish my show. We go right to her show. So, hey, that's great. You know what? We're going to have to do one of those things where we semi-broadcast again. You remember how we did that before?
Yeah, we'll have to. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I don't know where Joe is, but it's supposed to be global dating tomorrow night. So we'll be talking about it in that vein. So, yeah.
All right, great.
Feel free to come on at the same time.
All right. Thank you, Ebony.
That was nice listening. And bye, Ebony.
Bye.
All right, let's see if Mr. Robert's still here. All right, Robert, are you still there? No, I don't think he's there. Okay, well, another outstanding show, and I do appreciate everybody participating. And as you can see, we're getting deep into some things now. I'm telling you, just making me smile and just thinking about it, but I love it. And I understand some of us, we get passionate about what we're talking about, and, you know, that's the thing I love about doing this, to hear the passion in the callers' voices when they really believe in something. And so, you know, if you get passionate, or I understand, and I don't think, you know, we're family here. And, you know, as in when family happens, some people misunderstand, some get upset. But, you know, in the, at the end, we're all trying to strive for the same thing. So, you know, we all good. Co-host, what you got going on? And Rob, I'm not sucking up. So, co-host, what you got as far as your last word? And let them know how they can reach you.
Well, first I want to comment about this feminist movement. I want to say that I think it's unfortunate that some don't think that black women are capable of analyzing their issues and, you know, as opposed to what white women's issues were. As a matter of fact, there was great discussion during that time, and I believe it was Sonia Sanchez, don't quote me on that, a writer and a poet, that said, "What you mean, we, white girl?" And so that's not to be rude or, you know, against anyone, but that was just how she responded to the feminist movement. And there were some black women that even coined a new term to represent the fact that they had discussed and thought deeply about the different issues that that affected black women as opposed to white women. And they coined the term womanist movement, not feminist movement. So I just wanted to say that. My contact information is one@yahoo.com. And, Mr. Talk, I have got a very important call that I need to take. And thanks, everybody, for a great show.
All righty. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that was my beautiful co-host. All right, y'all. Once again, we had a great show. And, wow, I'm telling you, I'm just loving this week. I really am. Tomorrow, we're going to continue with the conversations. And, conversations. Yes, we are, on relationships. And I think we're going to touch on, we're going to work with the feminist movement, how it affected relationships between men and black men and black women, and we're going to go from there. So y'all know what it is, so this should be a good one tomorrow as well. I want to say thank you, everybody in the chat room. Antoinette, darling, thank you for holding things down. You know, I love you to life. I love you to life. Ha-ha, got you. Rob, you know, as always, you're entertaining. Cloud Nation, thank you for joining us. Ted Talks on BTR. Hey, welcome to the show. All my guests, those who left already, once again, thank y'all participating. Everybody on my switchboard, I love you. Without you, I would not have a good show, let's put it that way. So I appreciate your support as well. Tomorrow's show, same time, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific time, 1 Mountain time. We're going to have us some fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. So until tomorrow, y'all have a good one. And for me and my sister, before I get out of here, if you want to send me a comment, you can send it to ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Stop by the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, driven4life62 at twitter.com. So there's all the ways you can get in contact with me. And whatever you send me, I'll look at it, read it, do whatever you ask, and we'll make it work, all right? So until tomorrow, y'all have a good one. Love y'all. Oh, don't forget, keep smiling. Show appreciation, and don't expect, only show it if you're not expecting any back, all right? That's the only true way you can do it. Forgive with an open heart. Make sure that you haven't given yourself first before you can forgive anyone else. And my big thing is, make sure you can laugh at yourself, all right? If you can laugh at yourself and keep laughter in your life, then everything else is just small potatoes, and that's the reality of it. That's how I live my life, and it has worked for me. I know some of y'all might say he crazy, but that's how it works for me. So until tomorrow, y'all, that's all I got to say. Love you. I'm out of here. Bye.
I came back to let you know, got a thing for you, and I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze from your love, you see. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go.
Bye-bye.